Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How's Asia and the kids, Chan?
We good, man. Just hanging in there. School, work, you know what it is.
Man, this IAA parlay is hot right now.
Ooh, I'm winning some money now. That's making it a little easier at the house with my little checks coming in every now and again on that IAA parlay.
We're going to pick these three games for Week 10's parlay, I Am Athletes parlay. What we got, Chan?
I got to start Baltimore at Miami. Miami's not good right now. I'm down here.
Right.
Trouble defensively, offensively, you know, no protection for Tua in Baltimore in primetime with Lamar. Baltimore got that one.
Ooh, I like that one. I'm going to go with, and this is a tough one for me because I love the Jets, Buffalo at the Jets. I'm going to go with Buffalo. I mean, they hot. I mean, come on now. The Jets, they finally got a nice win. You had the quarterback come in. He played well.
And we talked about two young quarterbacks, two future of the league type quarterbacks. Let's talk about the GOAT, baby. Tampa Bay at Washington. You know Tom about to go in there and show out.
This ain't the week he get tired?
I don't think so. I think Tom's going to hold it down. Bruce got all the weapons in the world. Mike Evans, AB. If he does get tired, hand it off to Leonard Fournette.
Come on, man, let's go. We love DraftKings, DraftKings Parlay. Go to DraftKings.com, week 10. The I Am Athlete Parlay, promo code ATHLETE. We're going to get back to our workout. Those are the three teams. You got Baltimore over Miami. You have Buffalo over New York. We also like Washington to fall to the Tampa Bay Bucks. It's week 10. I Am Athlete is the platform. DraftKings is the sports book. Yeah.
Look, man.
What you think? You got a chance?
I'm ready. A chance. I'm winning, baby. Don't be scared. You can't be intimidated by the course. You gotta own it.
You gotta own it?
Own it.
How do you own it?
I gotta dive in now.
But you're not nervous of going off the track?
No, they got little tires and... they got stuff to catch us, man.
I don't like this.
I love it.
I don't like this one bit.
You want a go-kart?
Yeah, I mean, this is like...
We grown up, man. You 11?
I mean, you can run a Cup Series here. Cup Series race here.
I know.
That's not okay.
But look, I'm telling you, they're not used to taking rights.
They're not used to... That's our advantage.
That's our advantage. They're going to be nervous of the right. Hey, they go, oh, they're not used to that. Yay. I'm telling you, man.
Oh, like my goodness. There it is.
We are at the GoPro Motorplex. I Am Athlete NASCAR. They got us out here to show my skills. I used to ride through the hood. Cake. I'm about to hurt some feelings out here. I'm sorry.
A girl's not going to beat me today.
You sound like every man in the Truck Series.
I'm going to kick her.
Oh, we ready, baby. Oh. Oh.
You just knocked me off the course. I'm taking away 10 points from you.
I would like to thank, you know, everybody that contributed. I want to thank my pit crew.
What?
I want to thank my racing team. I just want to thank, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ.
For what? Hold on, for what?
The win!
You did not win!
I left you, mother... So if you saw what just happened, I'm... Get my number. Get my number. You just see what I do.
Number.
I was hitting it, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you're a good driver, though. Hey, you're a good driver. Hey, Haley, literally, bro, the last lap. She knocked me up here.
Up into the ground.
She was trying to get me all race, the last lap. She came and she just hit me hard. Bam!
You should know that's what I do. Always, last lap for a win.
Really?
Every single one of my wins comes from a last lap ordeal.
Nah, we ain't winning that against no driver.
Speak for yourself.
But they were flying. No, but they were flying too. They still.
Speak for yourself. Hell, you get back out there.
How does it feel to be a female driver in NASCAR? Like, that's what you get asked, like, what, 95% of the time
when
people
say,
right?
Yeah.
Because what we should be talking about really is, like, how do you feel to be a driver, right? But we have to start with that. Your team, you have a team?
So, yeah, like a race team and stuff. Like, are you talking about that or?
Race team?
What are you talking about?
Football.
Football?
Are we here to talk about NASCAR?
Like, what are we talking about?
I thought we were here to talk about football.
Honestly, probably.
I follow
his lead on everything.
Who, Chase?
Yeah,
your
Chase's.
Boyfriend?
Yeah, Chase's, which he's from Tampa.
How'd you guys meet?
Racing against each other.
Who won?
We both won, like, the same amount of races.
Well,
come on now,
Chase, I'm about to start something in their house. Because they live together.
Equipment. I was in better equipment, so I definitely did have that on my side, which he was in not as good equipment as I was. So, like,
that's fair.
It's hard to say, but he did do really good with the equipment he was in. And he is a better dirt racer than me.
Haley, you're speaking in love. We know about the next-gen stuff that's coming up. Both of y'all are in next-gen cars.
Yeah, so I actually did, like, the big preview for it for four, the all next-gen stuff. And I've seen a lot of it, and I think it's pretty cool. Like, I'm interested to see how it drives because I haven't driven it yet. So, like, I can't say how it drives, but they look pretty cool, and I think it's going to make it a lot simpler. And, like, I think it's going to be cool for fans to see a transition in the sport.
But you missed what he was saying, though. I love that answer because, you know, next-gen, there's a lot of excitement and anticipation around 2022 in the next-gen car. But what Chan was saying was, if the next gen, it kind of, you know, equals out the playing field, right?
Yeah.
We put Haley in the next gen car and Chase in the next gen car. Yeah,
who wins? Who's the better driver?
Who is the
better skillful driver?
I don't know. That's a hard one. Like,
it's okay. It's okay to say you're better.
Probably him. Because I feel like he's been doing stock car stuff so much longer than I have. Like, he has so many more years of experience than me racing stock cars and circle track. And so I think that I feel like that would come to his advantage. But I don't know. I feel like that's something you'd have to, like, see. I don't know. I really couldn't say.
If you had to pick between an X or a Z without any context, just in general, who would be your X between the two of us? I'm not giving you any context. Just pick who you would pick as your X. Just in general, just say it. Just
like the
just
letters,
random.
Like X and Z?
X and Z. Between him, who would be your X?
Probably X and Z.
Yes!
I don't know.
The debate is over. I won.
Oh, the debate.
No context.
I finally got context. I got somebody to finally vote for me.
People be scared, though.
Right.
Folks be scared to say it.
Right. You're like, it take them 20 minutes. I love that. It take them like 20 minutes, like, Then they always probably go with Ocho.
Because the sweet feet.
I feel like the reason why you get more votes, all the votes, because you made it look good.
You made it look good, too.
No, I did not.
I tried to emulate you.
No,
what
I did not. No, I did not. I did not. Look, I was big and I was physical. I should have been playing tight end or defensive end.
I did. I tried to do. He did. And added to my game and it didn't work. I swear.
No, it wasn't that. No, stop. You don't do it. How does it feel to be a female driver in NASCAR?
Okay.
Like, that's what you get asked, like, what, 95% of the time when people say, right?
Yeah.
Because what we should be talking about really is, like, how do you feel to be a driver, right? But we have to start with that.
It's different, definitely different. When you're the only girl coming into, like, the whole pit area and just being, like, obviously I feel like I got a lot of different looks in the beginning, and I feel like it starts, I feel like guy to guy, they have, like, an automatic respect. Guys automatically respect each other. But when, like, a girl steps into play, it's kind of like you're on the laughing side, you're the joke side of things until you earn that respect. So I feel like my entire life I've had to earn the respect of everyone before I actually got it. When guys, they automatically respect each other. And I feel like the older generation, it's harder for them to respect you. So I notice whenever I get into like incidents with some of the older guys on the track, it always drags on and it's always a lot more heightened than it is with the younger guys.
Incident?
Like wrecks. Like where you're getting like wrecks and stuff. Like hard battles. It's like they can do something to me, but if I do it back, it's a problem. I'm like, we just did the same thing.
That's perfect.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect. Okay. This would be the perfect opportunity for you to embrace being the villain. There's no problem with that.
All right.
Create the crashes, wreck them, and let them know you're not here to play any games. Put your foot down. Yeah. I cursed. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're good. There's a lot of cursing in NASCAR.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you put your foot down. That's right. Come in here and establish dominance.
Yeah.
But when I said, when I was asking people, we knew you were coming on, and I was asking people about you, Haley Deegan, they said badass. Like, that's what everybody said. Oh, she's a badass. Was that you naturally, or through time you had to build that callus?
Uh-huh. Yeah, callous. I like
did
that.
Did you have to build a callous to be the badass, knowing that you're coming in without the respect that those dudes give each other?
I think my dad established that whole badass role, and I kind of just followed his footsteps with it. Like, he was always the, like, hard, tough guy, all tattoos when no one else had tattoos. Just, he was always very different, and he was always on the very hardcore side of things. And so I feel like I kind of embraced that side of him, and that's what I grew up around. And so, like, coming to the NASCAR world, it's a little more buttoned up. It's a little more proper. I feel like I've always had that edginess to me, and I feel like that's probably because of him.
You know, you just called out ton of people in NASCAR, so you're basically calling them preppy and
Well, it's a preppier sport. I feel like it's much preppier than most sports, and I feel like when it comes to racing back, everyone's like, oh, we want that, like how it was back when Dale Sr. was racing, like back in those times it was a lot edgier. You see people smoking cigarettes in the car, like on pit road, like things you don't see now.
Right.
And I feel like that edginess has kind of gone away a little bit, but I feel like a lot of people could be embracing that and bringing it back to the sport, and at least keeping what's left of it in the sport. And I feel like that's what fans want to see also.
So you mentioned your father, Brian Deegan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Badass.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about y'all relationship and, you know, growing up watching him win, you know, year after year after year.
Mm-hmm. I think seeing his work ethic when he was truly the villain, like that was his role and he embraced it. And he made such a successful career off of it, of being the villain and being the kind of just the bad guy. And I feel like he did so good with that, of embracing it and making it like a true show and really like just showing people like, hey, this is who I am. Either you like me or you don't. And I that's why I truly liked about him. And I feel like watching him growing up, being successful with that, it was just like inspiring. And his work ethic, like he was up in the morning running, working out, like when other people weren't, doing things that other people weren't. And that's what I feel like. I just really liked seeing that. And I feel like I embraced that from him.
Any pressure keeping that name?
I think being a girl in racing, there's so much pressure on you because of that. I feel like there's so many people that expect you not to do good. Guys, they're always like, oh, they kind of give them the benefit. But like girls, they expect you to do bad.
Right.
And so like I feel like it's always like the pressure of showing them like, hey, like, and it's cool to see people's faces when like you go out there and you drive and they're like, wow, that was really, really good. And you're like, well, what'd you expect?
Right, you know what? Right. I think a lot of people would want to know. With your father being a racer, obviously, was there anything you wanted to do besides racing, or was racing always your first love? Were you not forced into it, but most of the time, parents always want their kids to follow in their footsteps. Was there anything you wanted to do besides racing before?
No. My dad didn't even want to get me into racing. My parents didn't want to get me into racing. They had no intention of it. I was the firstborn kid. I was a girl. My mom tried to keep me very girly, like, oh, I super bougie, like little girl wearing like Louis Vuitton bag going to school. Like, and everything was pink, pink hair bows. And like after I kind of started finding myself and started realizing like, hey, this is like, this ain't me. I ain't Princess Crowns and pink butterflies right, over here. Like, right. That's just not me.
Right.
And once I started realizing that, I was like, started figuring out what I liked and what I didn't like. And I started becoming very tomboyish. And like, there was a point in my life when I was like 14 years old, I looked like a boy because I was just like, all my friends were guys. Like, I thought I was just one of the boys. And so like, I just truly like, once my parents kind of started putting me in volleyball, I was in Girl Scouts. Like, I was a good volleyball player. All my friends got signed to big colleges and have big careers off volleyball. And I was in Girl Scouts and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I was actually going to a private school and I told my parents, I was like, hey, back when I started figuring out that I wanted to race, I started racing a little bit. There was a friend that we had that was into racing and my dad was racing off-road trucks at the time. And I was like, hey, I really want to try this. I want to try this because I was 8 years old at the time.
Wow.
Yeah. So for my 8th birthday, I ended up getting a race truck. And I was just kind of, it was fun because my dad was doing it. Like, it was more just a family thing. Like, oh, we're all at the track anyway. Like, no big deal. And then when I was in about 7th grade, I begged my parents to let me homeschool. I was like, please, like, let me homeschool. Wow. Like, this racing is getting too much for going to school. I'm missing too much to be able to get caught up with everything. And I was always straight A student. And I was like, let me homeschool. I will find the teachers. I will do the curriculums. I will do everything. And so I ended up writing a 5-page essay in 7th grade of why I should be homeschooled for racing.
Wow. That's it, though. I love that. Does that not make you feel good as a competitor, like, as a warrior?
The fact that you had the passion for it at such an early age is the reason you're going to succeed at it.
Right, right.
Like
right.
That early?
So we sat down with Bubba. We sat down with Danny.
Danny,
right?
Yes.
So, yep. Yeah. And they got it.
Yeah.
And you have it. You know, just for you at that age to say, this is what I want, and process it the way you process it, and then went and got it.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me. And like Ocho said, that's why you're going to be successful. I mean, you're already successful, but you're only 19.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much more for you, you know, in this sport and in life. So I'm excited about, you know, the next few years for you.
Oh, for sure. I'm super excited. And I feel like I'm super goal-driven of what I want to accomplish, whether it's, like, yearly goals, it's next race goals, like, long-term goals. And, like, I have so many things that I want to accomplish, and I feel like sometimes I get too wrapped up in it. I'm like, I want to do it all now, and then I'm like, I can't. So it's, like, it's just such a long process of just, like, being patient, accomplishing the little things before, like, those big things come up.
What are those goals?
The goals are obviously, like,
this. Give us the short term.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
So, like, this year has been really tough because there's no practice, no qualifying. Being a rookie in a new truck, a new type of car that you're racing, it's tough to get used to it. I have a new crew around me. Everything is new. And so I'm trying to get used to all of this while there's guys racing literally longer than I've been alive in the truck series. Like, been there forever. And it's so hard to beat experience. And so I'm going out there with no seat time, new tracks, new trucks, with guys with so much experience. So I've been fighting that battle all year. And we've made so much progression through the year. So this year's goal was, hey, let's get some top 10s, show we can really run up front, show we can do good. We're going to get our trucks really good. And I feel like me and my team have come so far this year. And I'm so excited for next year. Because as far as I know, we're getting practice back, qualifying, and that's going to help me so much. Because say there's one race you get wrecked, and I've gone wrecked the past couple races pretty bad. Say there's one race you get wrecked because of the formula of no qualifying and no practice, you have to start in the back. So it's like constantly digging yourself in a hole that you're trying to get out of because of no practice and no qualifying deal. So it's just tough.
Are you missing out on your youth?
No.
Like at 19, I was partying. I was enjoying myself. Like, you, like, there's, you know, like you see, you know, you had the blinders on. Yeah. It was like B said, it's very, it's, you know, you love to see it, but.
Yeah.
Do you ever take them off? Like, you seem like you're missing out.
Not really. I feel like growing up, like, I never wanted to go to the proms, the formals, anything like that. I never did any of that. And so I was homeschooled for racing. Like, I was so focused on racing because that's what I loved and that's what I wanted to do. And I feel like even to this day, I want to do everything I can for my career and to better myself and to be the best version of myself. Because why am I going to waste time right now? Like, I want to get it done. Like, if I can, why am I just going to kind of sit back? Because if I don't do it, someone else will.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Because a lot of folks that are focused like that in any industry, business, entrepreneurs, you know, want to be a doctor or child prodigies in music, athletes, right? Like you grow up and you're just focused and you're locked in, you also miss out on those opportunities and other moments in life. And I feel like now with Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles, Kevin Love, and all the other athletes now standing up saying, you know, no, I gotta take care of myself, mm-hmm. right? And there's so much around that. So you do have to be careful mm-hmm. there, right? Like, yeah, you're locked in and you can be successful, but at the same time, know that the sport doesn't define you. It shouldn't yeah. define you. And it takes athletes years to figure it out. It took me until I was 26, mm-hmm. 27 to figure out and learn that, oh, I'm more than a football player.
Yeah.
And I feel like the people who, you know, get wrapped up in the sport are the ones that struggle the most.
Mm-hmm. The transition when it's over.
Even in the sport, too.
During?
Okay. Yeah, both. Okay. Both, right? So just be careful there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only advice I would give you.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can por help favor, you grow arroz. From here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Do you have an outlet? So for us, or I can't speak for you guys, being submerged during the season, in the season, my outlet was gaming. My sense of peace, of being able to unwind, downtime, no stress, is gaming.
Yeah.
So what would be, being that you're so passionate about it, the same way all of us were at one point, what is your outlet if it's not the partying and the having fun?
I would say my outlet, it sounds like very businessy, but like my outlet's YouTube. Like I love doing YouTube. Obviously I have my boyfriend who runs a lot of it, the behind the scenes stuff. We have another filmer on board, and I feel like when it comes to racing that's so serious and so much pressure that I feel like the outlet and where I have fun is doing YouTube. And it's also like, it's a double positive right there because you're making great content, you're having fun. I love showing people into my life and what's going on. And I feel like that's what we've really stuck very core with our YouTube channel is showing what is going on in every bit of our life. And I love seeing other people see that. And I feel like that's what my outlet is.
Y'all didn't party during the season?
I still don't go out.
When you got to Miami, I took you out a couple times.
You took me out a couple times.
And you tapped out on me.
Yeah, I tapped out.
You stopped answering the phone.
Yeah, I mean.
I was focused too on partying.
Here's the thing. I probably would have been out there with y'all more if, you know, I was single.
But Misha wasn't having that.
Yeah. Nah. Misha ain't like me at first, I don't think.
Oh, I mean, you trying to take me to strip clubs.
We just hanging out. Why you gotta, you don't have to categorize hanging out. We just hanging out.
But at a strip club? I went out a couple times, yeah. But, you know, I was more on the focus locked inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Haley, you brought up the YouTube and mm-hmm. all the business stuff you're doing. I know y'all have to do sponsorships. Like, you have to impress a lot of people. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that? We brought up Chase a number of times, yeah. Your boyfriend. Y'all live together. Mm-hmm. Y'all do the YouTube, the sponsors.
They're shacking up.
Shacking up. Wait, what is this?
That's what my parents called it.
I don't even know what that word
this
means.
This is 1963.
Super old school.
But how do you balance? Like, is it tough to balance that? A relationship, racing, sponsors, YouTube. Like, how do you balance that at
the 19? Business.
You're a baby.
Yeah. You guys are doing 3 videos a week, uh-huh. And you have a shop. They have a shop. She's wearing her own products, on apparel.
We have so much going on because racing's a full-time job, like playing any sport would be itself. And then to add on to it, YouTube, running your merchandise company, and more race cars and stuff inside my own shop that I have that we're trying to build and get done. It is a lot to balance, but I feel like I've fallen in love with it so much, and I have a great team around me. My manager is amazing. Like, my dad grew up with him back in Omaha, Nebraska. He doesn't really manage many other athletes. He focuses a lot on me, and which is super helpful. And he has a team of people on his side that they will send me a text at the beginning of every week. Hey, these are all your social media requirements for the week. I'm like, okay, perfect. So I know exactly what to do. Scheduling everything. We have a giant whiteboard in the shop of, okay, what does everyone have going on this week so we could be all on the same page? And I feel like we found a really good system to make it all work without getting it to be too much.
What you don't have is a great branding, you know, executive. Mm-hmm. Because what you should do right now, you got to put your hair to the side so you can show the brand. Come on, Haley. Come on, let's get a shameless plug.
My hair gets in the way. Yeah.
I know, we got to show the gear. I love it. Yeah. I love the tee that Chase have on. You don't have to send me anything for free. I'll go buy it.
No, I'll give you plenty.
No, I don't. No, I want to support. Like, no, like that's why you're working so hard.
The biggest support would just be you wearing it.
I'll take one.
I'll get you guys all stuff.
What's the website? Where do we get it?
So we run our merchandise company. It's called shophaleydegan.com. But I feel like what we've been really focusing on is getting away from like just my name on a shirt with my race number, making it more truly a brand. So that's why you see kind of the logo is in HD. But if you like look at it, if you're someone that didn't know about me, you could just be like, oh, it's a cool logo. It's a cool design. And I feel like we've been really trying to make it more lifestyle, just trying to make the brand bigger and take it away from just being someone's merchandise.
Yeah.
And so that's the process right now, which I have designers that we go to, which it's not too much work on my side when it comes to the merchandise. I have someone who is at the shop full time who does fulfillment, and then I just pretty much go to the designer, hey, this is kind of my ideas. I'll make like a bunch of screenshots, pictures, and Chase will mock up little things to send in, be like, hey, this is kind of our vision.
Right.
What can you do? The merchandise is probably the easiest side of things compared to everything else.
Does that put a stress on y'all's relationship? Because I know B, mm-hmm. you, him and his wife work together. They uh-huh. work together on a daily basis. I know Sherelle has all her stuff going, yeah. and Ocho got 1,000 things going. Me and my wife work together as well, but we've brought up Chase a number of times in this. Like, could y'all have time to really be boyfriend, girlfriend, or are y'all business partners?
I think we've fallen in love with the business side so much of working with each other. And then, like, I swear probably all of our arguments are about YouTube or something else. Or, like, you didn't tell me you had this today when I had this today, and I rescheduled this. I'm like, I'm sorry, I forgot. And so, like, there's certain, like, things like that. But I'd say we have such a great relationship, and he works so hard to help me and my brand, and I feel like we've built something really great together.
So what advice can you give young couples? Like, we're old heads, you know, I'm still using the term shacking up, right?
I still don't know what that means.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's interesting now, I mean, he's been an influencer and a YouTube mm-hmm. sensation. You know, he fought with Jake Paul on our show, talking about, I don't know what a YouTuber is. I don't know what an influencer is.
I don't get it.
Like, literally about to fight on our set. But now he's known more as a YouTuber and an mm-hmm. influencer than he was as a football player. So that demographic's different. Speak to, you know, that Gen Z audience on relationships, mm-hmm. right? Like, you guys are young. Mm-hmm. What advice can you give them that's trying to figure it out?
I think it's just a more so like a maturity thing and being like, hey, what's the big picture? It's never us against each other. It's us against the problem. And it's constantly working towards that problem, not going against each other. If you guys are just constantly fighting against each other, you're never going to get the problem solved. And I feel like with a lot of situations, I feel like that's what helps a lot. And I think that when it comes to working with each other, obviously everyone's like, oh, don't work with your friends, don't work with your significant others. And so I feel like we've done a really good job of working with each other, of trying to be on the same page. And I feel like that comes with scheduling and everything, just trying to really have like a lot of conversation and kind of voice our opinions on different things and being truly honest with it.
Right. So I want to push the conversation forward, and then I'm going to bring it back mm-hmm. later, because I want to talk about when you talked about the villain. We'll end the show with mm-hmm. that, right? But, you know, right now you're running a truck series, mm-hmm. okay? This is your first year. You talked about your short-term goals this year. I just want to get us some top 10 finishes. How many? Did we get any top 10?
Yes, so I have one so far, a few that slipped away. But right. I'd say towards the end of the season, we have a couple more races left, is just trying to get a few more top 10s to finish off the season. But I feel like even if we don't, I'm very confident in what we have going on for next year. We have a new Ford truck coming out next year, a new body on the truck, and I feel like it's going to help a lot.
Right. So now let's take me to long term, mm-hmm. right? Next year, and then also 5 years out.
Yeah.
What is Haley Deegan? Where are you at?
So pretty much what my plan is of what I want to do, whether it happens or not, or something could change, who knows? I could run out of all of my sponsorship money. But right now, as of now, we're going next year. I hope to go full-time trucks with maybe a few Xfinity races. So that's kind of like the middle series level, because I want to like kind of get my feet wet of what those cars are like, what happens in that series, who to kind of race around, who not to, just to, so I'm prepared for the year after. And then I would love to run 2 years of Xfinity and then hopefully go cup racing.
Cup.
Yeah.
You have any like dream owner? Or team
dream. Okay, so I would say obviously I'm going to be with Ford for a long time, and I plan to be with Ford for a long time. They're such great people to work with.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So obviously you're the brand agent, huh? You're the branding person. Look at that. I love that.
Yes, so I'm pretty much their development driver that they're working with right now, and everyone is so great over there. It's not like working with business people. It's very much like a family friend dynamic, which I really like. And I've never met Tony Stewart before, but then I got to meet him, kind of build a relationship with him. Talking about cars and setups with Tony Stewart is a big deal to me. Like, that's definitely a bucket list thing to do. And after meeting him and seeing his personality and what he's all about, that would be a dream to run for Stewart Haas, which I don't know if that's going to happen, but there's kind of two Ford teams right now. So I obviously, whatever team I'd end up at is a great team, but that would be a goal.
You put it out there, it's going to happen. It's all about manifesting.
Oh, I'm manifesting here.
That's right. Believe it. He's right. He's right. And also some more advice. I don't know why I feel like I have to give you advice, you know, but, you know, goals are great, mm-hmm. you know, but enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Right. Enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. Don't get focused. And you hear this all the time. Don't get focused and locked in on a destination. Mm-hmm. Coach Tony Sperano used to always tell us that, right? It's about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
So even the wins and losses, embrace that. Mm-hmm. When I was out there playing for the Chicago Bears, I used to journal every time I would go back to the sideline just to stay locked in the moment. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on finishing this, you know, the game with 150 yards, or focus on where Ocho's at and like, I want to be better than Ocho. What I would focus on is just my craft and the journey. So there would be times I'll be on Monday Night Football, I'll run a phenomenal route, and I'll drop the ball, and 70,000 people were booing me, right? And like, oh, you suck, mm-hmm. right? And then there's another 4 million watching, 7 million, 8 million, yeah. whatever those numbers are. And what I would do is I would get back to that sideline, and I would write down, and I would literally say this, phenomenal route. I didn't even, like, I just dropped the ball mm-hmm. and was booed in front of millions and 70,000 live. Mm-hmm. And I would literally write that down. Phenomenal route. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I write that down is because I knew who I was. I knew at the age of 6 mm-hmm. that I was going to play in the NFL. You knew at 8, mm-hmm. right? You know who you are. You're 19 and you're racing amongst men. So mm-hmm. who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know who you're the badass. You're the villain, right? You're going to win. You're going to lose some. You're going to lose more than you win.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So right now, this year, your rookie year, it ain't one right now. Let's mm-hmm. say we finish with one. So what? Mm-hmm. Next year, we're going to get up and we're going to do it again. And because you know, if you stick to the routine that you have in place and you saw your dad do it year after 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 year, you know you're going to break through. Mm-hmm.
There's,
right?
There's a certain thing in any sport with individuals. There's a certain it factor. Mm-hmm. It's an it factor. You can't coach.
You can't force it on anybody. It's just already in you. Mm-hmm. That is factor is something that you have in your sport and your respective craft just by sitting here listening to you, the passion.
Thank you.
And to have it that early.
That's right.
That early. I'm thinking that early, I couldn't even write an essay.
Right.
Right. Sit here and be honest about it.
Yeah. Hey, seventh grade?
What?
No. You couldn't write an essay?
No.
I could barely spell my name.
Right. I'll give you three sentences.
Don't judge me. Yeah. Don't judge me. But, it's already there. But again, like, enjoy the journey. The destination is going to happen already because the work you're putting in.
Right.
You know, it's going to happen.
Right.
But I have
Thank
one
you.
Question.
Okay.
Favorite NASCAR driver?
Ooh. Favorite NASCAR driver. I would say when it comes to the actual racing, racecraft, there is someone that, like, you could be one person's driving style for the rest of your life. I would have to say Kyle Larson. Like, the what he's able to do, and especially with the opportunity he has now in top-tier equipment, it's, like, phenomenal. Like, every race we watch him, what he does in a car is phenomenal. Whether he goes to dirt racing, any type of dirt car he races, he's successful in. And, like, that's someone I want to be like.
But what's his it factor, though? Because you talk about equipment mm-hmm. earlier. A lot of guys, like, you get the fastest car, mm-hmm. the best team, you have a great chance. Mm-hmm. So what makes him special with the great equipment and team?
I think what makes him special is that he can go to every type of form of racing and be successful in it. A lot of drivers can't do that. A lot of drivers that you take away from the stock car racing, pavement side, racing side, and put them on dirt don't know what to do. And he goes on dirt and he wins everything.
We're basically going to be able to see who the best drivers are based on skill mm-hmm. and ability to play chess mm-hmm. when the new cars come out next
yep.
year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because there won't be such a huge advantage for teams that have the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's right.
We talked about the next gen. You just brought it up.
Yeah.
It levels the playing field. You think some drivers are intimidated by that? Because they done had the money for so many years and now, this guy has the same car I had.
Now you have
I
to
know,
drive.
I would be intimidated by it if I was in great equipment and that was, the reason I was doing so
Your
good.
Ed.
But I feel like in the Cup Series, there's so many good drivers. And I feel like everyone knows that and a lot of the drivers know that. So I think even some of the mid to back of the pack guys, yes, it's probably going to help out a little bit. But I think everyone in the Cup Series is such a good driver. There's a lot of good drivers, like very.
That's not true.
Not true?
I don't believe that. I'm just saying that because, you know, playing in National Football League, there's almost, 10 billion people on the planet, and there's less than 2,000 do what we do.
Mm-hmm. 1,600.
Right? 1,600.
Exactly, yeah.
And you'll walk in the locker room and be like, that guy's not good.
Yeah.
He's not going to help us out.
I would say, yeah.
Right?
He gone.
Right?
He
yeah,
gone.
I know there's only 40.
He's gone.
Gone. I know there's only.
I would say 75% of the field are amazing drivers.
All right. See, that's what, I love that. I respect
yeah.
that. All right. Give you one name before we go. Maybe a couple names. Maybe you guys throw out some names if y'all want to, if anything comes up. But I want to throw out a name and we'll see what comes up because you talked about embracing a villain, mm-hmm. right? Drew Dollar.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We got one.
Before.
You don't know Drew Dollar, the guy that every time y'all race, he seems to wreck you?
that was a 2019, 2020 kind of feud
right.
that I was just over. And it's actually went to another one of my teammates that now it's a feud with him. So I'm like, I don't got to worry about this anymore. It ain't my problem.
Drew, you leave Haley alone. But we would love to have you here and get your side of the story. Because we're only getting one side, Drew.
That can be the next Dale Earnhardt Jr. and
Kyle.
No.
We just talked about it.
Dale Earnhardt, Kyle Busch. You're talking about Kyle Busch and Dale. Yeah, but they had a clash, but then there was Kyle Busch and somebody else. But go ahead. Yep.
Hey, you are the Kyle Busch right now.
There you go.
You are the Kyle Busch. You have to embrace
the villain
role.
Yeah. And Junior obviously had a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they finally got over it.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
It was Joey Logano.
Yes.
It was Joey Logano, and then he ran
Kyle
out
Busch.
And they fought.
Yeah. They fought.
Would a dude run up on you? Would you run up on a dude?
No. Oh, that's, that would
okay,
be good.
Okay. That's a hard one. That's a hard one because, like, if I was a guy, it'd be totally different. Like, of course I would. Like, I'd have no problem with that. And there's probably a few other people I probably would have already. But, like, the fact that I'm a girl, it's like, it's a double negative because, like, first of all, they're just going to say, oh, look at her. She knows he can't hit back and stuff. And then if he does hit back, everyone's going to hate on him.
Right.
So I'm like, I would be okay with it.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But, like, I know no one would be.
No one wins.
Yeah, it's not a win for anybody.
Well, look, just do this. Go up to Drew Dollar. Knock him
we
in his head and just.
Against each other. anymore.
Just do this. Just go, like, look. Just go to your team. Say, look, this is the race. I'm going to knock him upside his head.
Who gave you that name?
I don't know. Just go up to your team and say, look, this is the race. I'm going to knock him upside his head, but you guys just break it up so nobody gets in trouble. Right?
Or Kyle talks about wrecking people. I mean, not Kyle. Yeah, Kyle, he talks about wrecking people purposely. When we talk to him, you can wreck his ass on purpose. And we'll be there.
Awesome.
I like
you
it.
Know, I get in enough mishaps with other people wrecking me that I'm like, I can't even keep track of it anymore. It's like a list. I'm like, dude.
We just had an amazing show with Miss Haley Deegan.
Haley
appreciate
Deegan,
you.
People.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Awesome. I really do. Thanks for having me.
It's good.
It's good. That was awesome.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.